Welcome to the Williams Nikken YB Herton phone conference line.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
I hear you far away.
Yeah, I get you on speaker.
I was just...
Now, let's see.
What am I doing? Now, can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Morning, good morning.
Maybe you're out in the garden.
Well, I'm, you know, it's going to be real tight, but I don't know. When I can listen, I'm going to. I was just going to try to just do it on Fridays, but it's too much information that I don't want to miss specifically. And haven't seen my computer guy, so, you know, and I'm the blah, blah, blah. Want to get a doctor.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I hope you're getting on the WebEx. Who's calling in?
It's Mary Lou. I'm on my way.
Good morning, Mary Lou.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's Nancy.
Good morning, Joan, Mary Lou, and Nancy. This could turn out to be a game. Anybody else going to see how many I can remember in a row? Fits with the program. Well, I know there's more than that. So good morning to all of you.
Ruth.
Yes.
Did you receive that? I sent it very late, but a dog with the tumor.
A testimony said a testimony?
Yes. Yes. I don't know if everyone else. Well, I sent it kind of late last night. We were up very late.
I didn't look at it yet.
Okay. But you can let me know if that would be something. The others, everyone else in the group may have already seen it. It came from Dennis.
Right. Okay, so I know that picture.
Mm-hmm. I didn't get a picture from Dennis. Dennis Roos, Dennis?
Yes. It's a remarkable story of a dog who recovered from some very large tumors.
Oh.
Is that standing behind an air purifier with a negative ion?
Is this a new dog or the one years ago?
Sounds like the same one. Is that right, Nancy?
I don't. It's the black lab. And,
right.
How long ago was that you sent it was sent?
Well, I just received it from someone in the Austin group, but maybe I'd already gotten it from Dennis some time ago and maybe just didn't notice.
Downstairs, I think, do we have that picture downstairs? I don't remember for sure. On the wall. So it's probably been a couple of years, Joan. I think it's probably pre-Joan.
Okay. I mean, I'm looking at my email here. I get so many different things, you know. Let's see, Natural Reflections Health Style Call Review. Is that you?
Anything Natural Reflections, is that from us, yeah.
Hi, we sometimes use these. We're learning many things, including...
Okay, so yeah, she got this one recently from somebody in our downline.
Oh, okay.
Out of Austin. That's why you didn't get it.
Okay.
We didn't send it recently.
Okay.
So, good morning, everybody.
Pardon
me?
I hope you send it again.
Okay.
Okay,
let's go.
I don't know. I believe that dog got well, but he must have had something just besides negative ions, I would think. Anyway,
Let's
start after the dog. Good morning, everybody. It is time for our health style call. I would like to know if we have any people who are on the call who are new. Please, if you could speak up, then we will tell you a little bit about what we're we do every day on a daily basis, but if not, well, then we'll simply do that really pretty thoroughly. On Monday, I will bypass that. But if you're new, I would like to know that, because then we'll talk about it. Anybody new who would like to know about our 10 points? So, good morning. For those of you who would like to get on the WebEx, then you will be able to see the pictures that we show more clearly. And, of course, if you don't, then you won't be able to see them clearly at all. So, if you happen to miss a call and you would like to be able to hear the call that you have missed, then go to www.allswell.org, which is www.allswell.org, and we thank you, Steve Crowfoot, for your recording. The recording yesterday, there was not a recording, so if we would like to hear that call again, we might, or maybe we'll go by the notes we took, but it was a very good call by Karen Eastwood and Donna, and something happened to the recording, and so it was not made. So, we are going to go right down to the lesson, unless somebody comes in and tells me that they are brand new on a call. We do like to hear who's on the call each morning. So, today we're going to talk about, and maybe frequently I will cover, I like to cover things that I'm very interested in, the way the brain works, and avoiding some of the things that are related to the brain particularly. Of course, everything is related to the brain. And so today I'm going to talk a little bit, mostly from an article from Dr. McCullough, and a little bit of going into some of his research. But not, I was gone all day yesterday, and so it won't go too deeply into his research. Where the things come from. So, going to start with one of the risk factors that is mentioned is avoiding the sun, and then using a sunscreen. But that's a whole other story. Except the sunscreen is one way to avoid the effects that we get from the sun. And we've all heard about the need for the vitamin D, but he's talking also here on some other factors. He says sunscreen, particularly, is a double-edged sword when it comes to your brain health, as it, aside from blocking blocks your ability to produce a good cholesterol, and of course vitamin D. And this good cholesterol is necessary in being able to have the synapses in your neurons working effectively. And so that's another factor in addition to the vitamin D. This factor with a good cholesterol is also an effect of, then of course, in Alzheimer's, risk of depression, suicide, violent behavior and aggression, and Parkinson's. So we need to go out there and get our sun rays. And if we're going to have to use a sunscreen, then we want to use a good sunscreen. I feel a little discombobulated today. So hopefully, we will continue to be able to speak this. So the other fact we want to go to is some strategies for Alzheimer's prevention, and talk about these a little bit. So number one that he had was fructose, and keeping that fructose ingestion low. You must keep your level below 25 grams per day. Who knows how many grams of fructose is in what, and can say, okay, just, I'm not aware of how many grams of fructose, for example, are in a banana or in anything. Does anybody know that? Okay, so 25 grams of fructose. And, of course, if you're adding fructose to our foods, well, then it's going to go up pretty high. And yesterday, I know Joan was talking about eat your vegetables and don't be eating so much fruit because many people are very concerned about keeping their insulin levels below a 3. And so at what level are you considered diabetic, either Monty or Joan? You've been talking about that quite a bit. What level are you considered diabetic?
Well, there are different people write different standards. America has the highest standard. That is, they allow you to get your blood sugar higher than anywhere else in the world before they will call you diabetic. And in America, they let you get it to 120 fasting. Fasting means no food for 6 hours or longer. Okay, fasting blood sugar. If the website Blood Sugar 101 reports, it has the best basic information about that. 100, a blood sugar, fasting blood sugar of 100 is a goal, is a good, is okay. Lower than 100 is also okay. 90 in the morning is okay. Okay, actually it's probably healthier. And now when I say good and healthy, I'm saying these are, you know, the people that live long and don't have problems, you know, traditionally have these levels of blood sugar. So goals, if you have a blood sugar meter, which everyone should have, it costs $35 or free at Fred Meyer, Kroger brand, cheapest sticks available. You have to buy the sticks. But at any rate, blood sugar of 100 in the morning, 120 1 hour after eating. You put a food in your, you take your blood sugar, you put food in your mouth, you look at the clock when you put food in your mouth, you set your kitchen timer, we're talking 1 hour after you start eating. Even if you eat for 45 minutes, 1 hour after you start eating, your blood sugar should not be above 140 or you're in trouble. Two hours after you started eating, it should be 120 or below. 120 or below. And why do we pick these numbers? Because at 140, you're not killing any beta cells. 141, you're killing beta cells. Okay. 140, you're not. Okay. And 120, I'm having trouble with my phone. I hope when it crackles, you can still hear me. At 120, you know, you're on your way down. You've got another 2 hours before you eat again. And, okay, so that's it in short.
Okay, but then, okay, so that is actually what our blood sugar is, but then...
should be.
Then what I understand is over a period of time, they are able to give you a test that tells you a figure, like a 3.
Correct,
or a 6
correct. There's an A1C.
Based on these factors.
Yeah, it's an A1C. It's allegedly more accurate. Now, I would tell you these blood sugar meters are plus or minus 30 points, which, you know, makes you nuts. You know, plus or minus. Standard deviation.
That's great.
And, you know, come on. Okay, but at any rate, but you get, you know, your... Yeah, but your meter is your meter, okay? And after a while, you know, when you do your meter and you do your A1C, you understand what your meter's whatever is like. Anyway, that's too much science for people measurement. But at any rate, A1C. My A1C, when they finally woke up, my A1C was 11.8. That's outrageous, okay? That's like, you know, coma dead, you know, whatever. It's really bad. Okay. You should aim at, now why, aim at under 6, 6.0. And A1C is you get 100% new blood cells every 3 months. That's why every 3 months you can have an A1C. And it will give you the average sugar level of your blood over that period of time. Okay, the sugar hangs on, okay? the insulin, the sugar hangs on to your blood cells, you know, occupies them. It hangs on to them, okay, until you know, the natural course of events, your blood cells die, okay, and then blah, blah, blah. So at any rate, the A1C ought to be a very good assessment. And, of course, the National Diabetic Association has a higher A1C record than the rest of the world, but at any rate, under 6 is healthy. And if you're not getting an A1C test by your doc, you know, you ask for it. You say, hey, how about an A1C? You know, this fasting thing is whatever. There are all kinds of unique things about the human body. For example, your pancreas is not the only organ that produces insulin. Your stomach, there are three. Your stomach does. At any rate, so just because you have a little damage in your pancreas doesn't mean that you don't function. There are little phenomenons where people have higher morning sugars, you know, and you know they're investigating all of that.
Okay, well, and so all this letting that insulin go is up and be too high is one of the tips for that is going to be Alzheimer's causing.
Too high blood sugar is associated with Alzheimer's. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah, and too low blood sugar is associated with dementia. Yeah, low is as bad as high, and that's why sometimes ketones can take the place in your brain of the sugar, sort of warding off dementia. Alzheimer's, they've got a specific type of brain failure. Oh, help. I'm suffering from it now. Anyway, everything I said is not perfect, but Blood Sugar 101 is the website where you can start to get yourself educated.
Yourself.
Oh, yeah, and yourself, yes. Yes, and you got plenty of beta cells. You know, you can slaughter them at Thanksgiving and Easter. You know, a big thing.
But not every day.
Just like alcoholism, you can drink and kill off your brain cells if you want to, but don't do it all the time.
Okay. All right. Well, as we can tell, and Joan has a very much knowledge about a lot of different things. But also, there are so many things to learn about. If I was just going to focus on the brain, which I'm thinking I might do, then I can focus on another thing would be, what's the difference? The question comes to me, okay, what's the difference? I know that there's dementia and there's Alzheimer's, but I've never taken the time to look and see what's the difference. And so that maybe that's something else I'll consider. And so let's move along now to vitamin B12. That is supposed to be A12, folks. Vitamin B12 is said by a small Finnish group recently published in the Journal of Neurology, people who consume foods rich in vitamin B12 may reduce their risk of Alzheimer's in their later years. For each unit increase in the marker of B12, the risk of developing Alzheimer's was reduced by 2%. But very high doses of B vitamins have also been found to treat Alzheimer's disease and reduce memory loss. A B complex, a complete B complex is really good. I know my mother, who did have Alzheimer's, if I could keep, she did take B12 shots, and then started not giving herself the shots, and so when she didn't have the B12, you could really tell a difference. It was quite pronounced. Okay, anybody else have comments on, have you taken B12? What for, or if you'd like to share that, and seen a difference?
This is Kathleen, and I have taken B12 for years when I got exhausted with little kids taking a baby in. The nurse said, well, let's give you a B12 shot. And I thought, what? And she says, oh, we nurses take them all the time. When we come in, we're really tired. We give each other a shot, and we go home feeling better than when we came in.
Thank you.
And so over the years, every once in a while, I've had a series of B12 shots, about three in a row. And then I had an IV drip with B12 with something else in it at one point. And I think it's great stuff. It's healthy and it's safe and it's great.
It seems it's pretty more effective than the B12 under your tongue. Anybody?
Mm-hmm.
I've used some of the little B12 that you put under your tongue, but I really didn't notice much difference with them. Anybody have a comment on that?
I take a B12 under my tongue every day.
Can you tell the difference, Mary Lou?
Yes, I can. I started doing that when, for some reason or another, when we went vegan, and I've never stopped. You know, it's just nice and easy. I would like to say one thing about this, and this is just what I have heard. When I had those lumps all over my body and needed to see that specialist in Bellevue, Washington, he talked to me quite a bit about the vitamin D. He wanted to make sure I was getting enough of that. And he said, interestingly enough, the incidence of cancer was way down in Europe, and the Europe tests for the people that were taking D3, but they increased with the people who were taking B12. So we might want to dig around and check on that a little more.
The people that were getting
the B12 shots, there was an increase in cancer.
In cancer.
Yeah.
Huh.
So I guess that you can get too much. You know, I'm thinking that that's probably what he was saying, is that, you know, you can get too much of that B12. And I've just never really researched it. The ones I take I only take one a day, and they're 2,500 micrograms or something. So I don't think it's, you know, very much.
What brand are you using,
Mary Lou? Well, just one that I pick up at Costco. Let me look here. I'll tell you what it is.
Okay.
It's Nature's Bounty, sublingual B12. Promotes energy, metabolism, and nervous system health. Cherry flavor.
Okay. All right. Listen.
What I have found is that if you take the liquid B12, you see a much more increase in energy. So that's better than the little sublingual tablet.
Okay, so now you guys are talking about energy. What about mental clarity? I don't want to say mental clarity because you'll think I'm talking about Meekins' vitamin. About the clarity of your mind.
Well, I don't know. When I have it, I just feel good, but I didn't particularly notice about my the brain. But
okay.
I've always heard that... you know, the little sublingual tablets are good, but the liquid gets in under, now that's under the tongue. And,
yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Do you have a brand that you use that you like?
Well, I get it from the vitamin shop. I use their brand.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you all have those there.
Yeah.
They may just be in Texas.
I think there's one somewhere.
The vitamin shop, and that's SHOPPE.
Yeah, and they've got the best prices, too. I remember when I were buying the Wobezymes. You know, the one thing about this is that it also has the magnesium stearate in it. And the reason it's they're pink is because it's beet juice. And there's no gluten, no yeast, they're pretty clean, no preservatives. That's why I grabbed this one.
But
and I haven't, maybe they're at Vitamin Shop.
I've always heard that you cannot overdose on B12, so, and I've heard that numerous times from different sources, so I guess we should do some checking to see if there is a...
Yeah.
Oh, I just thought of something. It has to be the metal, couple of incense, all of them. So the difference.
Somebody is scripting, hold your, you're moving something by the phone. This frequently happens. I don't really want to mute. So whoever's moving their phone or rubbing it or whatever, you're loving it, I don't know. But try not to do that, or star six. Okay. Go ahead now, please, Nancy. I just want to be able to hear you clearly.
There are two different types, I think, of B12. And it starts with an M and ends with cobalabum.
Ooh.
Like that. So maybe the, what that report was is if we're taking the other type, that we can get too much of it. I'll do some research and talk on it later.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Nancy.
And this is Kathleen. I know that when I get the shots, or when I get that, I'm sure I think more clearly. I mean, I just function very well. Yes, you feel good, but that part of that is your thinking.
So how are you guys getting shots? You just go into your doc, you say, you know, I'd like a B12 shot. How about that? You know, I mean, how are you getting shots?
That's how I get them.
You ask your medical doctor for a B12 shot.
Well, at first those nurses offered them to me, and then I go to a naturopathic doctor mostly now, and...
Okay, that is different. Those people you can ask for, but, you know.
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Well, they do them all over down here in Arizona. It must be for the mind, you know, must be for the brain. So,
and vegans should definitely be taking more, because they're not getting it from their food.
Right. Bruce, could I go back to vitamin D a minute while you're talking about that? Because that was something else, you know. Roger Drummer told me that when we're out in the sun, after we come in, to make sure, you know, most people, after they're out in the sun and they get all sweaty and everything, they come back in, they hop in the shower, and he said, do not use soap, because that vitamin D is converted in the skin. And so he says you can come in and get rinsed off and all of that stuff. You know, you can use the soap on, you know, in your couple of private areas, but as far as your skin, because if you come right in and hop in the shower and wash off with soap, your vitamin D, you've wiped out the good of the vitamin D. And it made sense to me, because even though I live in Arizona, when I lived in Seattle, that skin doctor had me taking vitamin D3, but when we moved down here, I thought, oh man, I'll be overdosing on this. So I stopped the vitamin D3 because I was out in the sun all the time. My first physical after we got here, the doctor's office called and said, you're extremely low in vitamin D. And so I went back on the supplements. Now, I do know that I've read enough about it that if you are considered obese, that your body doesn't, do the magic with the vitamin D like it's supposed to. In other words, you can't, it can't convert it or something. So that could be because, you know, my weight was up. But also, when I just went over from my last physical, they were talking about how, you know, the healthcare system is, you know, just overcharging and all this stuff, and they said that my doctor's office always checked everybody's vitamin D levels, and now the blood labs are billing Medicare, and it was either $260 or $400 just for that one test. So, you know what? They're probably not going to be paying it anymore. They're probably not going to pay for vitamin D tests, and that's terrible because we all need it. Vitamin D is very, very important for our health.
Yeah, I've been through that, and the answer is Medicare will pay for one with a specific form filled out by your medical doctor, one per year. Medicare will.
Okay.
A form has to be filled out when you go into the lab tech. You know, she'll ask you to sign something which says, If my insurance doesn't pay for this, I'll pay $214 or $241, something like that. I'll pay it out of my pocket. That you have to sign something. That's your little flag that your doc has not filled that out. And what you say is, I'll tell you what, I'll come right back, give me a copy of that form, I'll take it over my doc and the form. So that's how you do that.
Okay, good.
May I interject here? Mary Lou, when they did that huge charging for this test, did you complain any to them about having done that?
No. This is the nurse at my doctor's office that told me that that's what they're doing now.
Oh, I see what you're, because when Clyde was leaving Swedish Hospital, which up in this area, I think it has an excellent reputation, they gave him a prescription, the doctors wanted him to have a prescription, several prescriptions filled. Well, when we got up to the counter, we realized we did not have our checkbook with us. And so they told him that it was going to come to about $350 for those two or three prescriptions. We came here to our local pharmacy in Clee Ellum, had the same prescription drugs filled, and it came to $83.
Oh.
And I want all of you to know that when we come on, it is our responsibility to watch what the medical profession is doing. You cannot assume that they're going to be doing the best thing in our interest, because they don't. They're in it for money, and I'm telling you, I wrote a letter to Swedish, and I really told them what I thought about them doing such a ridiculous thing. So I think all of us have to be very aware of why are our healthcare systems going up, up, up in price. It's because none of us watch them and make them accountable for what they're doing.
Yeah,
sorry.
And this is Kathleen. I just need to tell you this. There is a Karen Vieira, V-I-E-R-A, who does blood work for you. And you can sign up, and it's $47 a month, and she'll test all your blood, and she goes into very intricate details on it.
And how do you contact her?
I'm not sure. I found her somewhere, and I actually signed up, but I've never sent any blood because I don't know how
okay,
to ask.
Okay, V-I-E-R-A, and Karen, C-A-R-A-N-E-N?
K-A-R-E-N.
Okay, and... what, I'm supposed to, I should Google her? I mean, okay.
Yes, why don't you try that?
Yeah, but I mean, if you have a contact, that would be good to know. Are you in the state of Washington?
I am.
Okay, so if you could get a contact maybe and get that back on the call or something, I'll look for her, but I would like to have someone who will take blood work that I'm interested in.
What's the spelling of the last name?
V, as in Victor, I-E-R-A is what she said.
That's correct.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
I will get that for you tomorrow.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So this is something that she could be in Timbuktu, and we send have her blood taken and have it sent to her.
Yes, I think she might be in the Midwest somewhere.
Okay.
Yes, I do blood tests with, this is Doug, I do blood tests with Tahoma Clinic. And I'm clear up in Stanwood, and they're down in Renton, so it takes me about an hour and a half to drive there. So their clinic sends me a kit, which is a cold kit, which I freeze the contents. And then I go down to the Everett Clinic, and they'll do a blood draw for me. And I could do it within about an hour before the UPS goes out. And then I put the kit in UPS, and they send it down to the clinic. And so blood has to be kept cold, I understand, in order to, for the testing. And so I worked out that procedure, so I didn't have to drive down just to get a blood draw and then wait for, them to process the blood and then talk to them about it. It would be two trips down there, and especially through Seattle traffic, that's can be more than an hour and a half where traffic is bad. So that's how I got around having to go,
Two trips.
Yeah, two trips. So I get it So I get the blood drawn here locally, and then I package it up myself with the kit they send me and take it down to the,
yep.
you know, to the
yep.
place.
The state of Washington is unique in that in the state of Washington, you do not need a medical order to get blood drawn, taken, or tested, or assessed in the state of Washington. In other states, including, I think, Texas, you have to have a licensed blah, 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 order that. But here, we can go directly to labs. There's a lab in Olympia that I go to, and it matters what lab tests your stuff. I had a physician that now doesn't work anymore. I'm so sorry. But when he first moved to Washington, he took double blood from five patients. He took two draws of this from the same patient, sent them under different names to the same lab, and he found one out of four labs that gave consistently the same results from the same blood. So it matters, you know, what lab you send it to.
It matters, and I just Googled Karen Vieira, and it's all over. You know, it just pops up, Dr. Karen Vieira.
Okay. I'll check her.
www.karenvieira.com.
Yeah, got it. Okay, thanks.
This is Nancy, and in Houston, here in Houston, we have these little labs in shopping strips, and they're called Any Lab Test Now. And so you can walk in there without a prescription and get
okay.
quite a few. It's a big, long list that you can choose from. I don't know about other areas.
Great.
And I did look this up on my bottle of B12, and it's methylcobalamin, and that's methylcobalamin.
And that's the good one.
That's the good one.
Okay,
I'm not sure what the other one is.
Doesn't matter. We got the good one.
And this is 1,000 micrograms, but I just take a dropper full under the tongue several times a day.
Okay.
And
okay, I have another question. Oh, pardon me?
They also make a B-complex in a liquid. So that one contains... Just a moment.
Okay, it's 7:38, guys.
Oh, let's go ahead. I want to ask one question to Mary Lou. You were talking about washing off, washing with soap after you've been in the sun. How long are you supposed to not wash?
Long enough for the B12 to get into your bloodstream, out of your skin and into your bloodstream. When your body's totally cool. When your body's totally cool.
Yeah,
probably.
I don't know. I just ever since he told me that I just come in and I hop in the shower, just let the water run over me. And I've never used sunscreen. So this stuff about the sunscreen blocking it out, that isn't what the issue was with me. So because I've never been
good.
A sunscreen user.
And to follow up on how much what has fructose I used, and maybe Monty's done this already and has better answers, but I use the nutritiondata.self.com website, and fructose is in a raw apple without skin, 25,125 milligrams. So I'm going to be eating a lot more fructose than I should. But I haven't, that's as far as I've gotten. I can't believe that's how high that is, given that you said we should keep it below 25 grams. Now, this is milligrams, but still, that's I drink six apples a day, so.
Wow.
Anyway, that, so.
Nutritiondata.self?
No, nutritiondata.self.com. The best, you know, Monty's favorite, my favorite. What's in your food?
Okay.
Everybody
thank
should have that. Yeah.
Thanks for all of the discussion. That is always, like Karen says, the best kind of a call, and I think so too. And so we have lots more calls to go along down this list. So everybody have a great day. It's sunny here in the Northwest, and hope you have a nice sunny day, whether it's some outside sunshine or inside. And we'll be having Nancy on our leading our call tomorrow. So have a great day. Thanks for all your comments.
Bye. Bye-bye.
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 Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Steve. Bye, everybody.
Thanks.
Welcome.